There are a whole bunch of people who have what I call a worm theology. They kind of look at themselves in the mirror, and what they see is a worm. Yeah, God's love couldn't possibly ever be for me. Well, we're going to meet someone today on the program who had every right to think of herself that way. And yet despite that, she reached out and touched Jesus. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to be taking another look at love from a different perspective. If you've been able to join me on the program over the last week and a half, you'll know that we've been exploring the amazing love of God. Why? As the old Beatles classic goes, all you need is love. And with so many people living their lives under a cloud, whatever that cloud might be, whatever failure or regret or loss or threat, whatever it may be, I believe God wants to blow that cloud away in many a life, maybe in your life. We started off last week by taking a look at this verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Although you haven't seen him, that's Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And yes, whilst God lets us walk through difficult times sometimes, whilst pain is as much part of life as anything else, I believe that whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, he wants us to experience his indescribable and glorious joy. And if there's one thing I've learned in life, there can be no joy where there is no love. Would you agree? It's only when we receive love and when at the same time we have the extraordinary privilege of giving love that we're truly living the life that God intended. It's only in love that we can experience the joy of the Lord. And there's a downside, because the love that we discover in this world isn't always the sort of love that we need. Yesterday, we met a leper who knew that by every law, every custom, whatever else that he'd been brought up with, the last thing he should do was to approach someone who wasn't a leper. He was required to yell out at the top of his lungs at some 60 or 70 paces away from someone else, "Unclean, unclean," to warn other people not to come near. You and I, we can scarcely fathom how that must have hurt him, how that must have torn at his soul. And despite this, he throws himself at Jesus' feet. He ignores protocol and casts himself at the mercy of God and was healed. Well, right now, we're going to meet a woman. She too was unclean for a different reason, and she too came to Jesus for healing, but in a different way. Let's listen to her story, Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. One of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come, lay hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman too, who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhaging stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone out from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "Can't you see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Now, just think about this. Being unclean was a big deal. And because of her constant bleeding, according to the law of the Old Testament, this woman was unclean. And anyone or anything that she touched became unclean. And if you were unclean, you couldn't go and worship God at the synagogue or in the temple. That's it in a nutshell. She's an outcast. Aside from probably being quite smelly, given that they didn't have the mod cons that some of us expect today, she was totally outcast because she was ritually unclean. Isolated, no husband, poor, no one to protect her or to provide for her. 12 years of pain, suffering, rejection, isolation. And then she hears that this Jesus is coming to town. We don't quite know what went through her mind, but my hunch is that after all the doctors, the years of suffering, she's completely at the end of her tether. So she takes the bit between her teeth. She heard about the miracles. Maybe she's seen him perform miracles. Perhaps she knows someone who's been healed. So she sets out that day with pretty much nothing to lose. But when she gets to where Jesus is, he's surrounded by this massive crowd. Seems everybody else had pretty much the same idea that day. Let's go and check this guy out who's supposed to be healing all these people. And at the top of the heap, at least 150 pegs higher in the social order than this woman, is the leader of the synagogue, Jairus, whose daughter is on her deathbed. Now, imagine how this woman felt. The crowd, Jairus. What hope was there? Well, just one. If Jesus wasn't going to see her and reach out to her as he did to the leper, well, you know what? She could see him, and maybe, just maybe, she could squeeze through and reach him. What's she got to lose? She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, if I can but touch his clothes, I'll be made well. And immediately her hemorrhaging stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And no one other than herself knew. Perfect. She could slip away anonymously. She touched the healing love of God, and she could get on with her life. No one need know that she, this unclean woman, had squeezed through the crowd and touched so many other people in the crowd and made them unclean too. What a perfect result for her. Healing and anonymity. But Jesus knew. Jesus had been touched by someone in the crowd, the one person who, for whatever reason, whatever her thinking was, had come with a faith beyond faith, a hope beyond hope, in the healing love of God. And it was through that faith and that hope and that determination that she lay hold of the power of God, for the power flowed out of him into her, not to anyone else. And the disciples, who should have got it, were incredulous. What do you mean someone touched you, Jesus? Give me a break. You're surrounded by this huge crowd pressing in on you. But Jesus singled her out. She told her story, and he said to her daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. And through this woman, he taught the crowd. He taught you and me 2,000 years on that his saving love, his powerful love, his healing love is for everybody, from the greatest Jairus to the least, this woman whose name we will never even know. Friend, sometimes he heals our physical disease, and sometimes he doesn't. But here's what I've noticed about Jesus. Whenever we come to him with just a mustard seed of faith, his compassion, his love, and his healing will touch us in ways that we simply can't imagine. The point is that his love heals and restores according to his sovereign will and purpose. And I've never met anyone who's been worse off for having pushed through the crowd to touch his cloak. I've never met anyone who says, man, I wish I'd never touched Jesus. And so often, the ones who touch him are the ones called to trials and challenges in serving him. But even those who suffer, have come to experience the indescribable and glorious joy of knowing him. And that, my friend, is worth more than anything else that you or I will ever find on this earth. Social media, you love it or hate it, it's a powerful reality in the lives of billions of people here in the 21st century. Of course, some terrible things happen in that whole social media world, which is why it's so important to use this medium to bless people for God's glory. So, if you're on Facebook, head across to the Christianity Works page and press the like button. When you do, you'll start seeing some positive and uplifting posts from us in your feed, including free booklet downloads from time to time. But more than that, when you're touched by one of them, you can then share them with your friends, becoming something of a social media missionary for the glory of God. Look, we need to be out there sharing the good news of Jesus. Amen? Well, this is one of the simple, practical, and powerful ways that you can do that. So visit the Christianity Works page on Facebook, hit the like button, be encouraged and blessed, and share some of that love with your friends as well. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.